You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 317 of Locked On Raptors for, what the hell day is it?
Tuesday.
You guys are hearing this on Wednesday, April 18th, but it's Tuesday, April 17th still. I'm your host, Sean Woodley, of course, of LockedOnRaptors.com, RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. And make sure you check out the Locked On Podcast Network. There's so much great stuff from all the different hosts. There's the daily Locked On NBA show from all the bunch of the sort of higher profile hosts from across the network now doing daily shows there. Find a show you like, subscribe, rate, review, leave ratings, 5 stars, all that stuff. It's very much appreciated. If you find Locked On Raptors on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all those places, please feel free to leave a rating. It's a nice thing to do. It helps my ego, and it's the best thing you can do to support the show. With all that out of the way, I hate doing the intro when I have a guest on the show. It's such a pain in the ass. The voice you heard originally telling me what date it is, it's Sirit Sohi from SB Nation, Vice Sports, CSP, all over the place, really. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. We're coming to you from the ACC after the Raptors just beat the Wizards 130-119 in Game 2. The Raptors have a 2-0 series lead for the first time in franchise history. It's super weird. All this is brand new, uncharted territory. I guess this, we can just kind of start generally and kind of go off more specifically from there. The Raptors dominated pretty much the first quarter, 44-27. The offense was kind of getting whatever it wanted. Third quarter kind of waned a little bit. And then the fourth quarter at the start, a weird lineup was in for the Raptors. John Wall got hot, and it got within 5. Then the Raptors kind of blew it out. With all that in mind, what was your biggest takeaway from this game, either from the Raptors or Wizards' perspective? Like, what are you going to be thinking about the next 2 days before Game 3?
Oddly enough, even given the comeback, I can't stop thinking about how pathetic this Wizards team has become. They've just done such a good job of accumulating and wasting all their talent. Like, the way that they've come together and just shit on themselves, essentially, is almost as inspiring as the way that the Raptors have come together and become better than the sum of their parts. It's really weird to see, because it's just a total reversal, really.
Yeah.
Like, the Wizards are the team that doesn't play that well in the regular season and then comes into the playoffs and generally outperforms their regular season record. They've won series, as Raptors fans know, being the away team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for them. They took the Celtics to 7 last year. And I mean, they were Kelly Olynyk away from going to...
They should have beaten the Hawks a couple years ago.
They should have beaten the Hawks.
They beat that
John
Bulls
Wall
team. They
hurt.
Kind of put the last dagger into that team's heart.
Exactly,
yeah, like, this
exactly.
is not a playoff slouch of a team.
And I think now we're at the point where, ironically, the Raptors might be the ones putting the dagger in this iteration of the Wizards. And I think it kind of goes to show that maybe the regular season and habit building does matter for some teams. I mean, sometimes you see a team like... You mentioned the Atlanta Hawks team that always won six, like that for that brief run, won 60 games and kind of didn't show anything for it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just these things can add up. They can accumulate. And if you don't show up for a good part of the season, not everybody can flip the switch or even work out the wrinkles of your best lineups the way that the Raptors have.
Yeah. And the thing, too, I mean, with John Wall being out so long this season, Bradley Beal, I think we're kind of seeing what happened to Kyle Lowry in the 2015 playoffs, where he carried the season with DeMar out for so long. By the end of the year, he was broken down. And Bradley Beal just doesn't look like he has that much juice right now. He was 3 of 11 tonight, just 9 points. You know, John Wall, to his credit, played an excellent game. He got foul trouble early, as did Beal. Somehow the Wizards bench, led by Ty Lawson and Mike Scott. We could talk about Mike Scott a little bit more as well, because I think he's going to be kind of important. But, you know, credit to John Wall for playing really well. He had 29, 9 of 17, he had 11 assists. He was getting to the basket at will, 11 free throws as well. But Beal just, like, it seems like it's catching up to him a little bit. So even while John Wall may be coming out of his rusty sort of phase after coming back from injury, it might not be enough, because Beal just doesn't look like he has it in this series so far. The Raptors have done a really good job defending him, whether it's OG or whether it's Kyle Lowry, whoever else they're tossing on him.
You really have to credit Kyle, I think.
Yeah.
For the way that he defended him, pretty much from, you know, when he got back to the second quarter on game one to the end of the game, he was on him like glue. He just wasn't letting him go anywhere. Beal picked up a couple frustration fouls, and then, you you know, going into game two, he was actually complaining a little bit about the physicality mm-hmm. and the lack of calls that he was getting. And I think the moment that you really start doing that in the series, there's always a little bit of chess played as far as complaining about officials, but usually you don't. Usually you see that from the coaches. Once the players start talking about it, there's a psychological edge that I think they give away. And I mean, it was very clear. It was very clear that they had, because I kind of assumed that Beal would come into this game aggressive, try to, you know, get some on Lowry, really, because Lowry was playing him very closely, and it mm-hmm. just didn't really go that way for him at all.
Yeah, Ty Lawson kind of did the thing that you would expect Bradley Beal to do, and was, like, good in the backcourt for this team.
Oddly enough.
Super weird. He played 31 minutes. Did not think we'd see 31 minutes combined for Ty Lawson in this series when they signed him on the last day of the season. He had 14 and 8. He had 4 or 5 from deep, as did Mike Scott. And the bench somehow, you know, Scott Brooks did the thing again where he doesn't play the stars that on his team, his three best players, for, you know, a 4 or 5 minute stretch at the end of the first and into the second. And for the second straight game, the Raptors couldn't really take advantage of that. And it was that bench unit at the start of the fourth quarter, you know, with Wall kind of helping out as well, but the end of the third, start of the fourth, that bench unit was, like, giving the Raptors problems. And I don't know, do you think that's something that's going to continue going forward? Is it something the Raptors should be worried about, or was it just, like, this weird one-off game where Ty Lawson discovered prime Denver Ty Lawson for 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, not to say that it started prior to the fourth, but I think, in general, if Dwayne Casey no longer puts out his victory cigar trolling lineup of Lorenzo Brown and Bebe out in the fourth, I think the Raptors are going to be fine dealing with the Wizards bench. They didn't really have the requisite energy today. I think they came out a little bit tight, probably because Fred was tight. Fred, you know, played the first 3 minutes and then sat out for the rest of the game. His shoulder was clearly still bothering him, and I think they kind of set the tone for the bench. They didn't really, you know, maybe it's just a matter of they didn't come in prepared for Fred to not be there, whereas in game one you could tell they really, really did. I mean, DeLon took the onus on himself, and he had a good game.
DeLon was awesome again, man.
Yeah, he definitely was, but he came on more in the fourth. He had some big defensive plays, obviously that alley-oop, which he said was actually the first alley-oop finish that he had in the NBA. Yeah. So congratulations to DeLon. It's a hell of a time to...
So many firsts in this series.
Yeah, a lot of firsts, but yeah, like maybe it seemed to me that they weren't necessarily as prepared for living without Fred as they were in game one, and that's a big thing for this team. Fred has kind of secretly become one of their most important players. They're also having to close games out without him, and he'd become a mainstay in that he was one of the four guys that they always went to, and that could kind of have something to do with them coming out in the fourth quarter flat.
Yeah, but in fairness, when the starters came back in, particularly Serge, Kyle, DeMar, they went on like a 17-4 run and put it away.
Yeah, like I said, like Casey was trolling. And they got back in there. I was like, yeah, if you're gonna start two guys that, you know, probably should, you know, be playing for the Raptors 9-5 for the majority of the time. And, you know,
you're talking about a G League MVP here.
This is true. This is true. I mean, we're talking about upper level G League players. I'm not trying to diss any of them. My point is only that when you have one team that is basically playing for their playoff life.
Yeah.
And even this iteration of Wizards basketball, they're gonna come out with something. And of course, it can be frustrating that the Raptors don't match that intensity, but it's also a tough ask of a team that started off a blowout in the first half. Like, first half blowouts, especially in an era with 3-point shots, they just don't last.
Yeah.
And just, you know, given everything, the disparate stakes involved for everybody, they were going to make a run.
It very much reminded me, and I think I tweeted this, so I'll just steal from myself. Like, it reminded me of their, like, late February swoon, where it was before they started losing games. It was when they were still winning games against, like, the Nets and the Magic and teams like that, where they just obviously didn't care about playing defense for 48 minutes because they didn't really have to, because it's not like the Wizards were doing anything sort of, you know, fantastic on offense to sort of break them open and, like, require, like, high attentive defense, right? Like, it was the Wizards being the Wizards, and the Raptors were just owning the Wizards being the Wizards, and it came to the point where I feel like they didn't really care until they had to care again, and when they did, my God, I think I saw a stat just on Twitter now. When Kyle, DeMar, and Serge were on the floor together, they had 140 offensive rating and like a 96 defensive rating. So like when they really had to step it up, they did, which I think is probably a good sign for people who are like worried about the iffy parts of this game going into game three. I mean, when they really tried, they're just better than this Wizards team. Going back to like grand takeaways from the game, I think my biggest thing is like, I just don't know if the Wizards have any more moves to make. It feels like they're kind of checkmated. They have a couple things they can go to. Mike Scott, actually, maybe the most interesting thing to come out of the post game was Scott Brooks talking about Mike Scott, and someone said, oh, he's been so good as a backup five, and he's like, yeah, he might be a starting five soon. We'll see. So that's probably the most interesting development in terms of matchup-wise, and John Wall spoke glowingly of Mike Scott as well. Huh. It felt kind of... Maybe
we're just like, let's hype up Mike Scott.
Well, here's the thing: we know there was a video of him and Gortat fighting on the bench tonight, and like that's been going on all season between those two. And the thing John Wall said was, "Oh, I love like running pick and rolls with Mike Scott. Like I'll run my pick and rolls with him." Maybe that seems like shade to me. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seems like they like Mike Scott out there. He was playing small ball five a lot.
I mean, Gortat has felt very free to say whatever he wanted all season, and it might be coming back to bite him. You know, at the end of the day, like, I think this was the series for Gortat to butter his bread. He has consistently owned Valanciunas in almost every matchup, but now, like, with the way that Valanciunas has grown, he can't catch up to him on the three-point line. I think this was actually on Morris, but, like, he got... JV hit a three, and then immediately they switched the matchup to Morris, and then he fakes a dribble handoff and just drives to the rim for an and one. Like, we're looking at a completely different player now who's also made enough strides defensively that he's not just going to get eaten up in pick and rolls that he used to. And also,
he had a great defensive first half.
And Gortat is also not as mobile as he used to be. So, I mean, it makes sense they would want to switch things up. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, I can't see what the Wizards would do to trip up the Raptors. We've seen every possible iteration of Raptors lineups this season, and they're really prepared for a lot of different matchups. You can put Mike Scott at the five, and then, the Raptors respond with their own three-point guard line, which, by the way, they love playing.
Yeah.
If you wanna allow them to play that without having to give up a height advantage, they will do it every single time. Like, that's just not... It's not the best idea, and I with the way that Lawson was playing and also just, you know, having to do something different, I don't begrudge Scott Brooks for doing that, but it kind of just goes to show that there just aren't a lot of lineups that they can throw at the Raptors that are going to give them too much trouble. Like, there's just so many versatile players on this team on both ends that are maybe mobile, they're... I don't know, what are other words that aren't mobile? You know what I'm getting at. Like, that's kind of the thing, right? Like, they're versatile. Yeah. That's all.
That's the thing. That's sort of why the whole, the depth doesn't matter as much in the playoffs thing is kind of bullshit to me, because you look at the way the Wizards are constructed and the way the Raptors are constructed. The Wizards, like, most of their bench players are just, like, crappy copies of... like original of their starters, right? Like, Jan Mahimi's just like a worse marching quartet, or maybe he's better, I don't know, but they're very similar players. They don't offer much in terms of like different looks. Mike Scott, you know, Markieff Morris, very similar players. Bradley Beal, you have Thomas Satoransky come in, he's kind of a mix of both Wall and Beal, but just much worse. Like, they don't have different lineups they can throw out where, you know, Pascal Siakam is so different from all the other Raptors bigs. Mm-hmm. Serge Ibaka does different things than all the other Raptors bigs. Like, the Raptors just have more interchangeable skills as opposed to the Wizards, which are just like replacing guys with some skills with worse skills who do the same things, essentially.
Yeah, one thing I wonder is maybe they'll try to go to Jason Smith. I know, but I mean, it's weird because this has kind of been a thing all season for the Wizards that Ian Mahimi is very bad.
Oh, he's awful. He's
and yeah. I mean, it's not like Jason Smith is a world beater, but he won't hurt you the ways that Mahimi has for them. And it's one of the it's really interesting to observe Scott Brooks in a presser. And I wasn't there for his presser today. I was in Raptors locker room, but the game one presser. I feel like he's consistently just answering the same questions about his poor coaching decisions over and over again. Like, he is always answering to the fact that he doesn't stagger his lineups, which, fine, I guess it worked out today. But consistent, like, that is just not a smart thing, especially when you don't have a good bench. Like, when the number one thing against your team last year was that they didn't have a good bench, and they've kind of you know, they fell backwards into some solid bench players this season because of injuries. It wasn't like any of his own genius, and you know, just the way that nobody on this team really gets along, that was the question that he consistently gets asked about. And
yeah.
He kind of say, oh, like, oh, we do tend to come together in the playoffs, whatever. Like, he just is answering the same questions over and over again. I think, you know, Jason Smith is no longer one of those questions, because how long can you keep really fixate on that?
Yeah.
But it's just really, it's really interesting, because it reminds me of when they were here. I can't remember which of the games that it was, but it was pregame, and somebody asked him how he felt about, like, the fact that it got onto a pretty slow start in the season, and
mm-hmm.
just had no sense of urgency. Like, his answer had no urgency, and, like, you know, okay, like, even if you don't have a sense of urgency, you should still reply with one, so your players aren't just like, our coach is bailing us out. And it was just really weird to me. Like, there's just way too zen for a guy who's coaching a team that is
completely falling apart,
yes.
on the verge of a core meltdown.
Yep,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The coaching disparity in this series, I think, has been pretty obvious.
Yes.
And honestly, I kind of am surprised that the Wizards continue to send so much aggressive attention towards Kyle and DeMar. And
mm-hmm.
I asked CJ Miles about this after the game. Like, did they do anything differently? He's like, no, they just kind of did it more. Like, they were more aggressive,
yeah.
and that leads to John Wall and Bradley Beal picking up quick fouls, and still the same sort of 7 threes for the Raptors in the first quarter, where it's just, like, filtering to OG and Serge and these guys that, like, that's what the Wizards want, but also it's not working, so maybe try something else. Maybe try to just play straight-up defense like
and
most other teams do.
Is it really what you want at this point?
Yeah.
Like, in this modern age, and also given what the Raptors have done all season, game one, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You're coming into an arena where the fans are scared. There's just, like, a malaise over
everything. Oh, it's terrifying.
Everybody's just, like,
yeah.
super nervous, because what if the Raptors lose game one again, and then it's just going to be complete pandemonium. Going into that game, I totally understand trying to play into this notion that the Raptors are their worst tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to revert back to the same playoff team that they were a year ago or 3 years ago when they played each other. So let's go with this aggressive trapping and just see if we can scare the shit out of them, and they'll start turning it over. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Game one, you want to play into that idea? Go ahead.
Yeah. But when they go 16 of 30 from three, and...
Yeah.
yeah.
It's just utterly shocking to, at this juncture, not believe that the team that is killing you is the one that you're really facing.
Yeah.
Like, that is what we're seeing. And it kind of just gets back to the whole Wizards arrogance thing. Like,
yeah.
Talking
lots of shit without being able to back it up.
Yeah.
Or to take the steps in order to,
like,
back
they
it
think,
up.
They yeah. think everything's the same as it used to be. And,
yeah.
and even after being shown that it isn't.
Yeah.
No changes. Whatever.
Yeah.
Just keep it going.
So, touching on some of the... We can wrap this up after this, but touching on some of the things that maybe the Wizards can do in the next game, if there's anything left. Like, I guess they're going to... If Mike Scott is their starting center, they go Scott Morris to start, like...
Yeah,
I don't know, because the Raptors so far have owned that front court. You know, JV and Serge have not been deterred. Eventually,
mm-hmm.
like, JV was 19 and 14 tonight. He got a podium game. He was excellent. And, like, I'm not sure Morris and Scott are stretchy enough to really make you worry that much for Jonas having to, like, come out to the perimeter and stuff. And if, like, you're funneling your whole offense to Mike Scott and Markieff Morris, that's a good thing. That's what the Raptors want.
Right.
So, like, I just don't think that front court is going to be the answer for them. And after that, I just don't know what it is. But I don't know.
Yeah,
like, do you see a path to success for that front court?
Yeah, I'll grant that there are times when, you know, in this game too, like, Jonas came off the floor because they went small.
Yeah.
That's not going to be your end-all be-all for defending the Raptors.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, do you really want to have no rim protection while Lowry and DeRozan are on the floor?
Yeah.
It just, for all of the offense that Jonas provides, they can make up for it just by being a little bit more aggressive when that happens. And then when you force the Raptors to go small, that means they're going to be more spread out as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of really just, I think it really just plays into their hands. And I think that's just kind of the story of the series. They're just more talented.
Yeah.
You know,
they just have more moves to make. They just have way more, like, chess pieces on the board to play with, I think.
And, I don't know. Sometimes I think, like, are they more talented? Because, I don't know, like...
Wall was awesome. He was
yeah,
really
like, a healthy John Wall is arguably the best player in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he's not healthy.
Yeah.
It's still close.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal is fantastic. You can still... this is the best backcourt in the league argument is, like, extremely tired, and I don't want to get into it, but they're comparable.
Yeah.
They are definitely comparable, and they should presumably have the bench now, considering the emergence of Satoransky. Like, Oubre even, I just... You know, they're still poorly coached that I don't know how to analyze them, and they also hate each other. So that is, you know, those are the type of things that will drive your talent down, I guess.
Yeah, and also, like, the Raptors, if they do want to try to throw Mike Scott out at center for 35 minutes, like, they can throw out Serge at the five. They haven't even used the Serge Pascal front court, which has been excellent this season in a small sample. It's probably they're probably saving it for when they need it more against, like, a real team that isn't just, like, this disarray of... like John Wall one day, like just trying to like carry a bunch of dudes to a win. Like, it's the Raptors are just Zach Lowe said it today on his podcast. Like, it's the least interesting X's and O's series because the Raptors are just better. Like, that's just kind of how it is. And I think we've seen through two games. Like, I don't know if you had to put a number of games on this series based on what you've seen so far. Like, is there any chance the Wizards bring this back?
No, I mean, I think they'll win a game.
Yeah,
and I'm only really saying that because. I don't know. I guess they'll win a game. Usually teams do.
Yeah, with that bumping Washington home crowd, you know?
I'll take the Raptors in five.
Yeah, that's what I said at the start. I'll still say it. You know, Wall has the capability of going nuts, but...
At some point, they'll have a cold game.
Yeah, you'd think. Although today was kind of a cold second half. They only hit 2 threes in the second half. On 13 attempts, and like that.
But that's because they started playing their D League lineup.
But. Yeah, but then DeMar just like rains death from mid range when he gets some space. Yeah. Like, we didn't even talk about DeMar. He had 37 today.
Yeah,
14 of 23. He had three threes. Like,
that's like, I mean, like when you look at the contrast between DeMar's game one and DeMar's game two, just the way that he's learned how to eat a defense up is just it's amazing. Like, you know, they play up on him, and he just decides, okay, I'm just gonna get fouled a ton today.
Yeah.
This is what I'm gonna do, and that was really good for the Raptors because they got into the bonus pretty early as well.
Yeah, I have to catch a bus, so we gotta wrap this thing short. Thank you so much for coming on, Sierra.
No worries.
Fantastic.
No
do you have
worries.
Anything that you want to plug? Anything people should be checking out?
I wrote about the Pacers. I'll have something on Lowry pretty soon.
What about the Raptors' second round matchup, the Indiana Pacers?
I wrote about the Pacers are kind of underrated. I wrote that before their game one victory, so I am taking my victory lap there. And yeah, I'll have something on Lowry probably soon, next couple of days.
Awesome. You can find Seward at Damian Trillard on Twitter, on a million podcasts, because you're just blowing it up now at this point, which rightfully so. I'm really excited for some future John Wall or Bradley Beal or Wizard slander coming up on your timeline at some point as well, because I'm sure you have
some. The polemic
is
coming.
I'm sure you got some. you got some jokes in the can. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back again probably on Thursday with another episode. I got a pretty busy day tomorrow, so I'm not sure I'll be able to squeeze one in. But this is your podcast for Wednesday, because if you're listening to this on Tuesday night, you're an insane person. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back again. You subscribe.
Just talking, like calling your listeners insane.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and then
you know
asking
what?
Them to subscribe.
Yeah, it's all out of love, I think. Either way, well, don't just leave me to my thing. subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. Twitter at Woodley Sean. I wrote a couple things on Raptors HQ this week, yesterday, comparing Dwayne Casey's press conference after game one last year and after game one this year. I think it still holds up, considering what happened in game two and the change that the Raptors have shown. So make sure you check that out. And thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again later in the week with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Cheers.